Okay, so then I'll take it. We'll have to turn up the temperature for next time. Okay, thank you very much. That'll be great. With a little honey, that's the key. Okay, we're learning this morning Be'ezer Hashem, a nice part, hopefully, of Perek Tes of the Maral's Gvuras Hashem. It's a long perek. We're not going to do the whole thing. I don't expect to do the whole thing, but we're going to learn a nice chunk of Perek Tes. And Perek Tes is a very, everything is chashuv. Perek Tes is very chashuv. Perek Tes, to some degree, is getting to the destination, much closer to the destination, which really the Maral was looking to get to in this whole series of prakim, where he went back to the Bris Bein Absarim. Remember what was the question? Why did we end up in Golos? Why did Hashem tell Avraham Avinu that we would end up in Golos after all those years? So he says, well, let's look back to the parsha where Hashem spoke to Avram. Oops. So here in Perek Tes, he speaks about he's sort of coming to the close of this process where Hashem had said to Avram at the beginning that your children will be in Golos. And the Maral wants to know, why do we have to go into Golos Mitzrayim? What brought it? So here he's getting to that part of, so why? So why did we end up in Golos? As he begins Perek Tes, what was Hashem so upset about, literally, what was Hashem so upset about that he should say that we should have to go into Golos? What's the reason? And the Maral is going to go through, one could say, six reasons. Okay, so that sounds like an awful lot. What the Maral is going to go through is he's going to go through what the Ramban suggests, what others, whatever, Abarbanel or someone quoted by the Abarbanel suggests. A third reason, which others suggest, I'll see who. And then he's going to bring the Gemara, which is his favorite. Because the Gemara asks the question in Adarim, and the Gemara gives three answers to the question. So it's really, he goes through three theories which are out there from Mefarshim, but then he comes back to the Gemara's reasoning for why this happened, which the Gemara has a three-way machlokes as to what this should be. Established. Why this should happen? Doesn't say who it is. Okay, I was looking here in Rabbi Kriyansky's edition to see if he brought who the third opinion was from. Okay, so why do we end up in Golos? So the first opinion which he brings is the opinion of the Ramban, and that is a Ramban which is found in Bereshis Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud, a famous Ramban, where it describes right after Avraham Avinu arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Vayhira of Boris, there was a famine in the land, and Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, and the whole my wife is my sister, or Sarah is my sister thing, which ended up where it ended up. So the Ramban writes there, Hine Avram yoad leMitzrayim ifni harav logur sham lahachyes nafshei bimei habetzairus. Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim because of hunger, to live there temporarily in order to survive in the days of drought. And the Mitzrim took advantage of him, not because of anything that he did wrong, to take his wife. And Hashem took revenge from them by bringing great plagues upon the Mitzrim, upon Parai. And he had him leave Mitzrayim with much property, with silver and with gold. And he had Paro send him off. And this was a hint, if you're getting the Ramban's drift. His children will go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine to live there, but it's in order to survive. And the Mitzrayim will do harm to them, to take advantage of them by taking their wives. Ooh, you say, one second, what are you talking about, the Mitzrayim taking their wives? So this is the Ramban's very Pashut Pshat interpretation in a Pasuk, which is, when they were going to throw the children into the river and keep the women, the girls alive, it was that they would be able to, the equivalent of killing Avram to take Sarah. That was what they were going to do. They were going to get rid of the boys who posed a threat, and they would take advantage of the girls. That's the Maisa of Simon Libanim from Sarah to that piece. And Hashem will bring great plagues upon them, Makos, just like he brought on Paro in the days of Avram, and they will leave with great wealth, just like Avram Avinu left with great wealth, and they will send them off, you know, with a company and making sure that they get out of there, like Paro initially did there, like he did with Avram over here. Everything which happened to Avram happened to his children. But this is explained in Bereishis Rabba. Rav Pinchas b'shem Rav Yishai Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeAvram Tzeu Kvesh HaDerech Lifnei Banecha. Go and, so to speak, set the road, you know, press the road before your children. You find whatever is found by Avram is found by his children. Avram, it says, Vahira Avarat, Yisrael, it says, Gizash Nosayim, Rabbi Keravarat, etc. So this is clear. It's a medrash. It's a yisoid, a foundational principle, which the Ramban calls upon in his commentary on Sefer Bereishis constantly. Ramban, in his siyum, in his closing comments on Sefer Bereishis, which is introduction to Sefer Shmos, even describes this as the definition of the book of Bereishis. And why Bereishis ends where it ends and Shmos starts is because it's a book of creation, and creation doesn't just mean separating the heavens from the earth or bringing out the sun and the stars, but the whole story of the Avos is a creating the patterns of history, Masa Avosim and Labanim, and therefore these stories, and the Ramban again constantly calls upon it in the story, in discussing the stories of Bereishis, especially on the earlier side, but he constantly calls upon it to bring out himself, or to quote where the Midrashim bring out the Maisa of Asim and Labanim. And it's so glaring here that you cannot ignore the pattern setting. That's not something about this Ramban which is debatable, or which is debated, I should say. It's, anything's debatable, but it's not debated. Where the Ramban gets controversial is in what he's about to say. Because all we have here is that you see Avram went down because of him, and the same thing would happen to his children later. But what Ramban does here, which he doesn't do by every Maisa of a similar banim, but what he does here is Vida, ki Avram Avinu chata chay gadol bishgaga. What he says is what Avram Avinu did here was he did something wrong, and it would be as a punishment for this that Avram Avinu did wrong, that his children would have what is the remarkable reflection of this story later in history, would be because of this chet which Avram Avinu did. That's where the Ramban is new. That the Avos had experiences that would be reflected later in history amongst the Banim, no question. That it's because of what the Avos did, or did things wrong there, that would be part of the reflection, that's a chiddush. And it says, Avraham Avinu sinned greatly by mistake that he brought his wife the tzadekes b'michshal avayin into a failing of sin, because he was afraid that he would get killed. He was playing dangerously to put Sarah into such a compromising situation in order to save their lives was wrong. He should have had faith. And he says, I'll even go one higher. Forget the fact that he said Sarah is my sister and got her in trouble. The very leaving of Eretz Yisrael because of the famine was a failure on Avram's part. After all, Hashem had told him, go to Eretz Canaan and you're going to prosper there. So he goes there and it gets a little tough and he gets going. It's wrong. And he says it's because of this action, the two facets of sin of Avram, to leave Eretz Yisrael and to expose his wife to such risk that it was a gzeira against his children that they should be in Golus. B'mokayim ha-mishpat shama ha-resha v'ha-chet. He says, and my indication of this is because where the punishment is where the crime occurred. Okay? So in other words, while it doesn't say anything here in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha about Hashem coming to Avram and saying, you're in big trouble, we have to wait for the Bris Bein Habsarim for that to happen. However, the similarity between what happened to Avram and the Golus which they had later indicates that this was the cause for that. Not just the pattern setter, but the cause. So that's the Ramban's theory, which he puts forth here. The Avraham Avinu did two averis, both of them averis, so to speak, of a failure in trust in Hashem, that Hashem would take care of him, and therefore his children were punished with golus. That's the theory of the Ramban. The Ramban's theory, it must be said, seems to go against a mainstream in Chazal, not just what Chazal say, what we'll learn shortly in Mir Tashem, where Chazal ask, why did Avram Avinu get punished? And they come up with three reasons, but not this one. It's not just the silence of Chazal that the Ramban deviates from, but the Ramban also deviates from open statements of Chazal. Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, as we all know, that Avram Avinu had 10 nisyonos, 10 challenges, which he is considered to have passed them all. And what are those 10 challenges? And virtually every count of the Asar nisyonos of Avram Avinu, I can just throw it. So much for that. Okay. A wet tea bag is not quite a basketball. Avram Avinu, had 10 nisyonos, and virtually every count of the Asar nisyonos includes on the list that Avram Avinu was told to go to Eretz Yisrael, and when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, there's a famine, which forces him to leave Eretz Yisrael, and Avram Avinu was fine with that. He didn't come and say to Hashem, what's going on over here? Right? Or he didn't, you know, chuck the whole thing. You promised me, Vavarecha, Vagavla Shmecha, Vayei Barucha, right? All these wonderful things that would happen when I went to Eretz Yisrael, I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I have to leave. Now, if Avram Avinu's leaving was a failure, then we could hardly count this as one of the tests that Avram Avinu passed. That Avram Avinu was so perfect. Again, Avram Avinu does a chet is not a problem. But if this is the Nisayan, how are you going to react to the famine? And he failed the Nisayan. It's hard. And Chazal, again, consistently, those, the Chazal, Rishayim, but even Chazal of Rav Nosson, where they count the Asar and the Siyanis, they seem to view this as a test which Avram Avinu passed. Yeah? You want to ask something?
They talk about it as Nisayan, but they don't. Do they actually, is there just the assumption that he passed?
It says Amad Bakulan. It says he had 10 tests and he withstood them all. That shows you how great Avram Avinu is. Like the Achibasa Shal Avram Avinu. It's clear that he passed the 10 tests. Scored 100.
Was this an 11th test somewhere?
One might say that it's something that he failed in or whatever, but it doesn't say that. It says that this is one of the Mishnah doesn't list the tests, but there are associated Divrei Chazal that do list the tests, and then there are Rishonim who weigh in with their own versions. In this, the Ramban is unique to say that this was something which Avraham Avinu failed. Yeah.
On the Ramban deviating from the Chazal and the Darim, you could say it's similar to another Benaviyu. There's 11 reasons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Silence is one thing. Yeah.
Right. Meaning that this is the end of something that happened.
I think it becomes much more serious when Chazal say, Avram, great job. And Avram Avinu, and Ramban says, Chazal, terrible job. You know, Avram, terrible. That's what I'm saying. The fact that he adds another reason, you know, Baruch Hashem, in Divrei Agada, you're able, the Rishonim say you're able to do that. You know, Kapatish Yavaytetzela, you're not bound to the opinion stated in the Gemara. In halachic matters, it's much different, but in agadaic matters, you're not bound by the notions expressed in the Gemara. But it's more radical when you're arguing head on rather than adding something that the Gemara did not say.
Couldn't we be machalik though and say that the test was whether or not Abraham would question Hashem? So that and that part he passed.
Okay, it could be. It could be. He didn't trust Hashem, but he didn't question him. Well, whatever it is. Okay. I only point out, it's a possible nuance. I accept that as a possible nuance. You know, Avraham Avinu shouldn't have left, but he could have left and slammed the door. And he didn't leave and slam the door, he just left. You know, so it may not be, he may have passed Be'ezah Bechina, but it becomes so much more fine, and there, I think it's so much, it's a big chiddush. But there's a bigger problem with the Ramban than the fact that he may be saying something different than Chazal. And that is, those are the questions which the Maral asks on the Ramban. And I remember, quite clearly when we were learning this with my Rebbe Zuchanovacher, Rebbe Weinberg, who always would bring these questions to the Maral. I don't think he never quoted them from the Maral. I don't know that he ever, that it was based on having seen the Maral in the Gburis or anything else, but they're the obvious, logical, difficult questions with the Maral, which is, if Avram Avinu did this, and then later in Parshas Lech Lecha, where Hashem comes to Avram and he says, you're going to go into Golus for 400 years, and this is the reason why he's going into Golus for 400 years, which presumably Avram must have known why Hashem is, If we have a question now, why did Hashem send us into Golus for 400 years? When Hashem said to Avram why he's going into Golus for 400 years, presumably he gave Avram Avinu some understanding of why. And yet, what does Avram Avinu do in Vayera, in the next parsha, when he goes to Avimelech, and he didn't even have to go to Avimelech, he chose to go to Avimelech. He went to Avimelech because his neighborhood sort of, you know, became empty, and he didn't have much business of Kiruv because Sidon was destroyed and there weren't a lot of people traveling in the area anymore. So he moved to Avimelech, and what does he say? He says, my wife is my sister. He says that Sarah's his sister. If that was a terrible chet, and then again, she ended up in Avimelech's house too. So how does he do it, get punished for it, and then do it again? And Yitzchak had a famine in the land, and he would go to the land of the Plishtim and say that Rivka is his sister. So what's going on? If he was given an explicit slap on the wrist punishment because of doing this, why would they do it again? It doesn't make sense. Very hard to understand. So because of that, the Maral does not go for the Ramban. That's one reason which is given. A second reason which is given, which is again apparently citing the Abarbanel, is that the reason why the Jewish people went into Golus, you're looking in the wrong place, you're looking at Avram, the reason why Jewish people went into Golus is because of the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Right? The brothers got into a big fight and they sold Yosef. Yosef was guilty for certain things which he did to bring on their animosity, like Dibos Amra, telling negative things about them. The brothers were guilty for selling their brother down the river. But there was guilt, and that sent them into Golus. And by the way, that actually did send them into Golus. It was from that story, Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, and then the brothers followed him down to Mitzrayim. And the Mefarshim even add a little twist, and they say that the sin developed as they were shepherding sheep together and hanging out together. And when they went down to Mitzrayim, what was a big part of their speech? They said, you know, we had to come here because Ein Mirel HaTzayin Asher Lavadecha, because we can't take care of our sheep in Eretz Canaan. That's what forced them down to Mitzrayim. Right? Maybe they would have taken food packages home if it was just their hunger. But you can't graze your animals on food packages. Right? So that's why we had to come down here, accept your invitation to come down here. So if that's the case, you know, what do we... So that would be the me, the connected me. That would be the cause for what happened. Now, there's no question that the chet of Mechiras Yosef was the trigger that started the process. But, points out the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Avram Avinu about this Golus many, many years before, and Chazal seemed to actually be doing it the other way. They view that what happened with Mechiras Yosef as a fulfillment, as a way of carrying out what was already punished to Avraham Avinu, instead of Avraham Avinu being told about what was going to end up happening with Yosef. And as it says, and the one example of Chazal which he brings for this, it's more than one, but one example of Chazal which he brings for this is one which is quoted by Rashi, when it says that Yaakov sent Yosef to go see what was doing with his brothers in Shechem. It says, Vayishlocheu me'emek Chevron. He sent him from the valley of Chevron, and they came to, and he came to Shechem. So Rashi brings, one second, Shechem, Chevron is an emek, Chevron is a valley. It says, Vayalu banega vayavayal Chevron. It sounds like Chevron is on top, on a mountain. So he says, Emek Chevron is actually just a way of saying, Eitza amuka shalaisa tzadik hakover bechevron. It was actually from that deep plan that was of that tzaddik, Avraham Avinu, who's buried in Chevron. In other words, because of the bris bein hapsarim, so Avram Yaakov ends up sending Yosef and starting this whole process because this was what was going to make the bris bein hapsarim, the prediction of Golus, happen. This was the beginning of the unfolding of that promise. So the way the Maral says it is, there was a reason for Golus before. The story of Mechiras Yosef is just the way it ends up happening, rather than saying that the story of Mechiras Yosef is the reason for the Golus to happen. Now one could debate this. One could argue with this. I don't know a good defense of the Ramban. There may be one. I should really look into it more. I don't know a good defense of the Ramban. But on this one could say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu is Yodaya Teda. I want you to know that this is going to happen. And when it says Vayishlacheu me'emek Chevron vayavayishachema, it's not that, oi, there's a gzeira and it has to be fulfilled. But there's a reference that what you're seeing here is what Avraham Avinu was told. It was Yediya. It was awareness. He was being told what was going to happen. But what was going to happen was only going to be triggered by chet, by decisions which would be made later. So he was somehow being made privy to the fact that the Jewish people would sin later, and that would cause them to go into Golus. One could see it that way. One could see it that way. Now, it says in a different place in Chazal that the Jewish people deserved, would have been worthy for them to go down to Golus b'shal shaloi shal barzel, in iron chains, right? Except that they had their chus made it that they went down in royal carriages sent by Yosef HaTzadik. Why would they deserve to go, have been? Because it says that they're supposed to go into Golus. So even that's not a proof that the punishment was there before. It's just that it was told that they would go into Golus. That could have happened. And going into Golus could happen in many different ways. And even with the sin of Yosef, maybe they should have deserved to be taken down in shackles. Right? But whatever Zechus made it, that they ended up going down as heroes, in a sense, as the family of the viceroy. So, one perhaps could live with this pshat and say again that all Avraham Avinu was given was Yediya. But the chet, which triggered Gulas Mitzrayim, not just in the end, but from the beginning, it's not just a trigger that comes in the end, was Mechiras Yosef. One could say that. Okay, but the Ramban, the Maral doesn't like it. He sees it the other way around, that the cause is already in place when Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that this is going to happen. Yeah?
I don't know if this is a big question, but don't we generally say that Binyamin was faultless?
Yes, and in quoting this shot, he doesn't address Binyamin. What does it say? He says, "Shechev gol asoy bechet hashvat mechir asyosef av yosef chot min yishal yoday hoysa mechir shiyosef goram zeshlei shimloi hevi di belavi leirazeh." But it doesn't mention anything about Binyamin. It doesn't address Binyamin. Binyamin. Yes, we consider him to not have failed in this matter. That's why the Beis Hamikdash is Bechelkei, Chazal say. That's why the Beis Hamikdash is in the portion of Binyamin, the Orayin Bank Seif of Shachin. I did not look at that Bar Benel inside, but that's a fair question.
So it seems that the Anish, if the height was Mechiras Yosef, the Anish seemed to seem disproportionate to what the chait was. The chait was Avraham Avinu's lack of emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very fundamental chait. You could begin to understand how that correlates to such a chamor onesh. But the curious rest of it is, something rivalry that wants to be pure.
Well, I'm not sure that we would say what's the big deal, and I hope that your sons don't hear that comment. but the because it's the paradigm for Sinas Chinam, which is the big deal that destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash that has us in Golus for 2,000 years, a lot longer than any Golus previous, than Golus Mitzrayim, than Golus Bavel, than any other Golus. So there is a big deal in Mechiras Yosef. We would say it may be a little harder to understand in terms of Golus and Geula patterns, and maybe one day Mir Zeshon will talk about how sibling rivalry of this kind is also an Emunah issue. It's also an Emunah issue. When you are overly concerned about what other people are going to do to you, maybe we'll even get to it a little bit later today, or later in Perek Tes, if not today, but when you're overly worried about what people are going to do to you, that means that you're putting too much stock in the strength of people and too little stock in Hashem running the world. So it also can be seen as a chet of emunah. But the elegant thing about it is that everybody has to agree that the chet of Mechiras Yosef was the immediate trigger to the Jewish people going down to Mitzrayim, because that's the way the story unfolded. So therefore that works out very nicely. What they're doing, though, again, is they're turning Brisbane Absarim from saying you're getting this because of something in place right now to just a snapshot, a time machine snapshot of what's going to happen. The idea of what's going to happen, but none of the causes are yet in place. That's what they're giving up on in that Perush, but in a certain sense, there's a certain Pshutai Shel Mikra to their, there's a certain simple straightforwardness to their approach.
Just what Gil had to say, Rashi really says something very much the opposite, because when Moshe Rabbeinu saw by Dasam Aviron, now that I see that they're Mashinim, now I see that they still deserve to be in Golas. So
good.
Clearly we're putting
good.
Them together.
Good. That's true. When I saw that they're fighting with each other and they're saying Lashon Hara, the Achein Ayda Adavar, now I understand why they're in Golas. Very good. So that's a continuation of the type of Sinas Chinam stuff of Mechiras Yosef. Yes.
Don't we say that Brisbane Mitzrayim was before Lech Lecha?
Okay, so there, in terms of chronology, very good point, very good question. According to the Seder Olam, the Brisbane Hapsarim actually occurred when Avraham Avinu was 70 years old. That's the way they work out all of the chronological pieces. And Avraham Avinu was 70 years old 5 years before the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. And therefore it was before the famine. It was before the war of the five kings and the four kings, which according to reasons which are given by Chazal, was a trigger. And even B'Moed HaKirashena was said, according to the chronology, the way it's presented in the Psukim, as coming after the war of the four kings and the five kings. So I don't know the logical, rational way to explain exactly how all this together, what was said before, what was said after, but there certainly is stock to be put in the presentation of the sequence leading up to the Brisbane Absarim. So maybe Hashem promised Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael when he was 70, and that's the 430 years till the Jewish people were to come back when they left Mitzrayim, but maybe not all the details were filled in. I don't know exactly where it is, but in a certain sense we're taking it as following the order that it's presented in the Chumash, even if there are chronological elements that are different. The third approach, which the Maral cites, and again I don't know who says this, is that it's not a punishment. It's what we call Yisurin Shalava. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people trials and tribulations as a experience for the person to have, not because they did anything specifically wrong that they're being punished for to deserve it. Not just sometimes, tons of times. the as we've discussed often, in different contexts, as the Ramchal writes in the second section of the second chelik of the Derech Hashem, when he talks about the different reasons why things happen to people, a lot. Our world here is not the world of reward and punishment. We believe that the world of reward and punishment is the world of Olam Haba. So much so that some are of the opinion that Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma Leka, that there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. What is this world for? This mitzvah, this world is for work. And when we're given different situations, those are our working conditions. And if your boss gives you a case or a task which absorbs you day and night and weekends and so on and so forth for 6 months, do you go to him and say, "Oi, what did I do to deserve this?" Now, it could be that maybe he's giving you some miserable job because you did something to deserve it. Or it could be that he says, "This is a hard case, it would be perfect for him." So it doesn't feel good when you're keeping your eyes open with toothpicks. It doesn't feel good when you have to look at the pictures on your desk to remember what your family looks like. But nevertheless, it's not a punishment. It's your working conditions. Yisurin shel ava. Right? So there's a lot of different aspects to Yisurin shel ava. But Yisurin shel ava means not as punishment, but as something which is given by somebody who loves you as a growth opportunity. So if that's the case, so then we don't have to look for a punishment. The pasuk doesn't say any explicitly, and it's just saying Kol Yisrael had to go through this process for whatever it would produce. So the Maral has a very interesting problem with this, and the problem he has with it is as follows: Shilu ha'enish derechad bilvad va'isei ador yotzu yesh lemesh hakadosh baruch hu mevi yisur ma'avnei adam kedei lizakaisam. If there was a punishment on a single generation, and they had to go through being in Mitzrayim for 50 years or 20 years and then they left, so we could say that that's Yisur and Shalava, because they went through something, they experienced something, and went on. But it wasn't until the fourth generation that they left the Golos, and so many of the people just died there in Mitzrayim. How can you say it was Yisurim Shalava if they didn't make it out alive? Yisurim Shalava is supposed to give you something positive to be able to move on to the next step. They never made it to the next step. That's a very interesting objection. It's a very interesting objection for a couple of reasons. First of all, how about the world to come? Maybe they were going through this and the miracle would benefit them in the world to come. Okay. Maybe yes, maybe no. Bigger question to me is, we're dealing with the Jewish people. We're not dealing with Jewish people. Right? If you're talking about individuals, you could say, one second, they never got to see the Paris of this. But it was the Jewish nation that went into Golos. The Jewish nation went in, and the same Jewish nation came out. And the Jewish nation had this experience of Golos Mitzrayim, Gulos Mitzrayim, whatever it was, whatever it produced, whatever purging, whatever maturing, whatever development. But the Jewish people survived Golos Mitzrayim. Why should we say that, it couldn't just have been a growth experience for its sake because these guys didn't make it through? Who says these guys have to be the ones to make it through? It's a big chiddush that the Maral objects for that reason. The basis for the Maral is where the Gemara in Brachos, where it discusses Yisur and Shalava, says that what are Yisur and Shalava is that which does not have Bittul Torah and Tefillah. Right? The Gemara says, if the Yisurim take away the person from davening and from learning, then it's not Yisurim Shalav. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? So what the Gemara, it's very, very, very limiting into what Yisurim Shalav could be, and one has to know if one should take it literally. But the idea is that if Yisur and Shalava are to help you grow, and they stop you from being able to do the things of growth, then they can't be Yisur and Shalava. So it does seem to express it as sort of like this sort of, you know, straightforward thing. So how could it be now? Who's going to even begin to think that Golos Mitzrayim didn't take them away from Torah or from Tefillah? I don't know. But the Maral has a problem with this approach because, again, he just sees it as being too protracted. So again, I think it's a defensible approach with a broader look here at Yisur and Shalava, but the Maral rejects it. And the truth is that I would believe that part of the Maral's rejection, because he puts in here his plug for the usual thing, is he says, what are you looking around for? Why are you looking for reasons? Open up a Gemara and see what Chazal said the reason was. Says, now let us go, return to the words of the sages that are beloved, that are pleasant, that are clear, that are founded on blocks of wisdom. Adnei HaChachma. And he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, where three reasons are given for Golos Mitzrayim. And just because I want to illustrate what I mean when I say where the Maral just anxious to get there, and he says, and he says towards the end, and this is, if you're using the classic typeface, classic edition, it's on the bottom of page Nun Dalid, and he says, "Hine ein kasha v'divrei Chazal, omnam higia l'ktsosam shirchiku divrei Chachamim, meishloi nosnu leival divrei Chachamim." Some, you know, put away what the Gemara said and came up with their own reasons, because they didn't pay sufficient heed to what the Chachamim said. They looked at the Gemara. At first glance, they said, that doesn't make sense. And therefore, they chucked the Gemara, and they came up with their own reasons. But he says, the problem was that they didn't look at the words of the Chachamim with sufficient depth. So at first glance, it doesn't make sense, so they cast it away. But that was the Maral's life's work. The Maral's life's work was saying, take a second look and you'll see how deep what Chazal are saying is. So I would almost say that, you know, here I am, big shot, I'm answering the Maral's kasha on this pshat, the Maral's kasha on that pshat. The Maral, in a certain sense, is doing to them, I would say, I don't think that this is disrespectful, I think it's respectful, the Maral is doing to them what they did to Chazal, because the Maral wants to end up with Chazal. Chazal is the basis for Torah Sheba'al Peh, for understanding. They are the G'dayle HaChachma, and it is to them that we're supposed to be working with as an assumption. What they say makes sense, makes absolute sense. When we see it, it'll open up depths and riches that we never saw before. Why are you looking anyplace else? So then, they say something, after rejecting Chazal, he throws it off with a question. Get me back to Chazal. Get me back to Chazal. Okay? So I think that more than the, so to speak, these questions which he uses to reject whether the Ramban's approach, the Abarbanel's approach, this other approach which we don't have a name attached to at this point in time, right, is get me back to Chazal. Get me back to the Gemara Nedarim. So let's get back to the Gemara Nedarim. So what does the Gemara in Nedarim actually say? The Gemara Nedarim reads as follows. Om Rabbi Avo Mipheima Nena Shavram Avinu V'nishtab Dubon of Masayim V'eser Shonim. Why was Avram Avinu punished that his children would be enslaved for 210 years? Right, the Gemara here is not using the numbers 400 or 430, which are used in the Chumash, but it's using the number 210, which Chazal worked with, were the actual years that they were in Egypt. And he says, because Avram Avinu drafted Torah scholars into his army. Okay? That was the reason why they were punished, why he got this punishment. He drafted Torah scholars into his army in the event which took place immediately preceding the Bris Bein Absarim. It was in the Battle of the Four Kings that it says that he armed his chanichim, his students. His students were Talmidei Chachamim, and he used them to fight the battle, and he shouldn't have. And therefore, when Hashem appears to him afterwards, he tells him, "You're going to go into Golus for all those years." That's the reason Rabbi Avol gives. Okay, it's something to consider, to think about. It has contemporary, obviously, applications. This idea of not making angaria for Talmidei Chachamim, not drafting Talmidei Chachamim. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Shmuel says a different reason. You know why we were in Ishtabed? Because he challenged, or he was unsure of what Hashem said. Hashem promised him Eretz Yisrael, and he said, "How do I know?" Right? So this is again what the Maral earlier, in our earlier discussions, what was the question of Bama Eda Ki Rashena? What was that question about Ma'eda? So here, right, we had one approach in Chazal which said that he wasn't challenging Hashem, he wasn't doubting him, right? He was just saying what schus it would be. But this version of Chazal says that it was Avraham Avinu's failing in Emunah, that he was asking about Ma'eda Ki Rashena. And the third, Rabbi Yochanan said, Shehiv Rizal Midaisu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Milovei Geirim Tachzikanti Hashem. This is not the Girsa, we have it in the Gemara, the Ari Gemara, I think it's Shehifrish also something that happened immediately before the Bris Bein Absarim, which was that when he returned from the battle, the king of Sodom came out to him to thank him, and he said, "Please give me back the prisoners, give me back my people, you can keep all the money." And Avraham Avinu said, "Not only will I give you back the prisoners, I'm going to give you back the money as well." And giving up the prisoners was giving people up who he could have brought to Tachas Kamvei Hashchina, he could have brought close to Hashem, and he didn't, and therefore it was for that Avraham Avinu was punished, that we ended up in Golus. Hare Gimel Deis Binyan Zeh. So there are three opinions in the Gemara, says the Maral, V'kulam Tavu Adavar Bechet V'dafka Bechet Avraham, and they all say it's a result of a sin, not Yisurin Shalava, and a sin of Avraham Avinu, not a sin that would come later of Yosef HaTzadik or Mechiras Yosef, but it all starts with a sin of Avraham Avinu, and of course not the sin which the Ramban attributes to him, but that Avraham Avinu, that Chazal attribute to him. So now that we have these three opinions in the Gemara, of course we need to understand what's going on, what are the nature of these three opinions in the Gemara. This is an extremely, extremely rich Gemara, extremely rich Gemara, and we're not going to be able to cover it all in one sitting, what the Maral has to say about this. And there are things that we also would like to add in the discussion of this sugya. It's a very chashuva issue, figuring out what Golus Mitzrayim is, why it happened. But let's start here with a little bit of what the Maral has to say about this, even to begin with, in sort of an introductory manner. And that is that he says, remember what we established in the last parak. What we established in the last parak, as we were studying the aspects of Bris Bein HaBesarim, and we saw Chazal coming from many different angles to see Bris Bein HaBesarim as more than just the story of Golus Mitzrayim, but seeing in it remuzim, hints to everything that would happen in Jewish history, to all the four exiles, to all kinds of things, remember? So right, the Maral took us down a few of those roads, and what the Maral said was that the reason why that's done, the reason why that has to happen, is because Avraham Avinu is the core, he is the shayrish, he is the beginning of everything for Klal Yisrael. And so the events which happen with Avraham Avinu are the seeds that will be seen, their offshoots will be seen throughout, forever. in all branches, in all parts of history, that shirish, that root, will play itself out all along the way. And so, he says, by the same token, when we look at something so fundamental as Golus Mitzrayim, it's going to be found in something which happened in the life of Avram Avinu. But, says Mara, hold on, but then I have a problem. Why? Because if Avram Avinu is the root and everything is supposed to happen, everything is about to happen in the life of Avram Avinu, how does Hashem say in the Bris Bein Absarim, but Avram Avinu, don't worry, none of this is going to happen to you. You'll be buried b'seva taiva. You'll be buried in a satisfied, content old age. If it's because of a ched of Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu was so essential to the process and everything else, and it was Avram's ched, so why should Avram Avinu be immune to the whole thing? So the Maral answers this question in two ways. The first way he answers the question is in a very practical way, and the second is in a more of a Maralian philosophical way. The practical way he answers the question is with echoes of things which are found in the Chumash, in Rashi, in a couple of places in the Chumash, where he says like this. You have to understand that Golus that was decreed here brought with it a payback. When they went into Golus, they would leave with great wealth. When they went into Golus, they would leave and go to Eretz Yisrael. And if you pay the price, then you deserve the reward. And if Avram Avinu goes into Golus, that means Avram Avinu and all of the subsequent generations will go into Golus. And they'll all share in paying the price. That means Yishmael will share in paying the price. That means Esav will share in paying the price. Which means that they should also share in the benefits and the rewards. And we know, right, the most prominent example was that Esav left. Right? Esav left Eretz Canaan to leave room for Yaakov Avinu. Why? So take the Svara backwards. He left in order to leave room for Yaakov Avinu because he said, Eretz Yisrael? I know if you want to have Eretz Yisrael, you have to pay the price of Ger Yizarach Eretz Lehem Avon Avinu Aitzim. You have to pay the price of the Golus. I don't want to pay the price of the Golus. So therefore, I'd rather take Har Seir. Right? Rashi brings that over there in Chumash where it says, Esav left Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. That's the thing. If you pay the price, then you deserve the reward. And therefore, as we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, as we quote from Yahushua, right? And I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav, Hashem says, and I gave Esav Harseir Loreshes Esav, Yaakov Uvon of Yordu Mitzrayim. I gave Esav Harseir, and Yaakov and his sons have to go down to Mitzrayim. Why? Because since I gave Esav Harseir, and I said, you, B'nai Yaakov, are getting Eretz Canaan, it's time for you to go through the hazing ritual that allows you entry into Eretz Yisrael, which is Golus Mitzrayim. So says the Maral, if it would have started with Avram, it would have included all of Avram's descendants. So therefore, what did it wait for? It waited for Yaakov Avinu to be separated from Esav, Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim, and so on and so forth, and then they went down to Mitzrayim, because then only those who would benefit in the end were the ones who would pay the price. That's the practical answer which the Maral offers to this question. But the Maral goes deeper than that. Right? Because Maral would always go deeper than that. Okay, so it's not practical to do it till later, but still, explain. But why should Avram Avinu be immune? Just because you're going to have this, you know, this byproduct that, you know, what's going to happen with the children, they're going to pay. You know, Hatsur Tamim Paloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are perfect. We don't have, okay, it's not ideal. Ideally, Avram should have gone down, but it will cause a problem, so our compromise is that Avram Avinu doesn't go down. Then it's not perfect. So explain to me, in a positive way, why Avram Avinu shouldn't be part of the Golus. Explains Maral, Avram Avinu himself was the purpose and the tachlis of the entire bria. Right? We've seen that before, of the entire creation. Eilat told us Hashemayim Oretz Bihi Baram. This is what unfolded with the heaven and the earth when it was created. Bihi Baram, say Chazal, the letters are Avraham. Right, we just said in davening this morning, Hashem, you made the Shemayim, the Shmei Hashemayim, Oretz, the earth, everything, the seas, and you, Hashem, chose Avram. Avram was what the whole Bria is about. If Avram Avinu himself is what the whole Bria is about, says the Rambam, Ein Roi Shiyah Avram Ger. It's inappropriate that Avram Avinu should have to become a wandering dependent, that Avram Avinu should be enslaved. If Avram Avinu is the purpose of it all, then it's not appropriate that Avram Avinu should be subordinated in this way. And says Maral, yes, I know that when we count the 430 years, it includes things which are in the life of Avram, like when it says by Avram, Vayogar Avram be'eretz plishtim yomim rabim, that he lived as a stranger in the land of the plishtim. However, he says that's just, you know, it's a little bit of the land wasn't given to him yet, but he didn't really have gerus, he didn't really have shibud. That would have to start later. And so that's the core idea which he says. But he goes a little further. He goes a lot further. And he says, look, you know, according to what I said, so Avram shouldn't have it. And it shouldn't happen until we have clearly the people who are going to have Eretz Yisrael. So as soon as Yaakov Avinu was there, or Yaakov Avinu had the Shvatim, they should be able to go down. But it didn't happen until we became the Shivim Nefesh, till we became the 70 nations. So Maral says something here which I will say over to you what he says. I understand it, but I don't understand it. Says the Maral that Yaakov, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, have no parallel amongst the Umay Sa'ilah. They're in this realm that we've referred to here of Avram Avinu being what it's all about, and therefore he's so unique he shouldn't be Meshuvad. The same is true for Yitzchak, the same is true for Yaakov. The same is true for the Yud Beis Shvatim, because when Klal Yisrael is composed of these 12 parts of the Yud Beis Shvatim, it says that's a uniquely Jewish construct. The Umayyads, the nations, don't have that. Now, Yishmael had that. Yishmael had 12 Nasiim, 12 princes, and even Nachor, right, the brother of Avram Avinu, also had 12 children. In fact, 8 of them were from his wives, and 4 of them were from his concubines, just like Yaakov Avinu had. But that's all part of the Abrahamic family, and there's not going to be Shibud from the Abrahamic family, there's going to be Shibud from the outside. From the outside, the construct of 12, or 12, 13, doesn't exist. Maral discusses it in other places. We've come across in other places the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 Shvatim, together with him, is all part of the Echad, the unified nature of Klal Yisrael and the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Aleph, Ches, Dalid, right? Aleph, the one, right? According to some, that's Yaakov. Ches, sons from the main wives. Dalid, sons from the concubines. But it all becomes one. The 13 becomes one. And that's uniquely Jewish construct, and nobody can infringe on that. But when we speak about the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim, is that a uniquely Jewish construct? The opposite. When we speak about there being Shivim Nefesh, why are there Shivim Nefesh? Why are there 70 souls? Those 70 souls correspond to the 70 nations. It's a pasuk in Chumash, Yatzev Gevulois Amim Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. In Parshas Hazinu, it says Hashem established the boundaries of nations corresponding to the numbers, the census of the B'nei Yisrael, of the Jewish people. Yatzev Gevulois Amim Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. So what does that mean? So that means that where the Jewish people begin to come and to relate and to interact with the Umayis HaOlam is when they reach the stage of 70. Yaakov Avinu? No. Yaakov, the Shvatim? No. Because they have no parallel amongst the Umayis HaOlam. They're still in that unique phase which has them above the fray. But once they become Shivim Nefesh and the interaction with the Umayis HaOlam begins, that's where the Shibud beneath the Umayis HaOlam can begin. That's the idea which the Maharal says. I'm very taken by it. I'm very taken by it, but I wish I could say I fully understand it. The reason why I don't fully understand it is because, you know, I mean, once you have it, you can know, but when he says, Avraham Avinu was the purpose of the whole world, and therefore he couldn't be Meshuvah. The Jewish people were the purpose of the whole world, and they were Meshuvah. And we discussed this earlier in the Gevuras Hashem. Right? That was a question which was posed. Why should the Jewish people be Meshuvah? And whatever it was, something happened in their condition, right, that it would be necessary and appropriate for them to go through the process called Shibud Geula. But, you know, so the logic alone doesn't stand unless you're still saying this piece which the Maharal is adding here, which is Avraham Avinu was still so utterly unique and he was being established for his own. Yeah, the Shvatim still, Shivim Nefesh was already coming to talk about how the Jewish people would relate to the nations. And once that happens, so now it can flip. And the Jewish people could be meshubad, can be nation. And so I just want to finish off a little bit some elegant things which the Maharal says as a result of this. So he says, so when Yaakov Avinu died, what happened? He was taken out of Mitzrayim. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu himself had no business being taken out of Mitzrayim. We just said before, Yaakov Avinu, like Avram Avinu, like Yitzchak Avinu, you know, this level of Shibud didn't apply to him. But when Yaakov was part of the Shivim Nefesh, when he was part of the 70, then he goes down to Mitzrayim. When he died, he was not part of the Shivim Nefesh anymore. So, bunk, right? He leaves Mitzrayim, he goes back to Eretz Yisrael. When the Shvatim die, they also aren't part of the Shivim Nefesh anymore. And so, they go back to Eretz Yisrael. Well, the Shvatim wasn't the same Adrega as Yaakov Avinu. So the Shvatim, their bones would eventually be taken out of Eretz Mitzrayim when the Jewish people would go back. But, right, Yaakov Avinu wouldn't stay there at all. Right? It was more distinct. And, says the Maharal, nice, I think, another beautiful thing, which is, and that's why, as long as the Shvatim were alive, there was no real Shibud. Because since Shibud wasn't in the Bechina, in the aspect of the Yud Beis Shvatim, Shibud was only in the aspect of the 70 Nefesh. So while the Shvatim would be part of the 70 Nefesh, and to some degree things would begin that they would come down to Mitzrayim, but the Shibud in earnest could not begin as long as the Yud Beis were still around. So yes, it's not sharp black lines that divide between the phases. There's a certain transition which is happening. But the idea which the Maharal says here on a philosophical way, not just a practical way, is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, you won't suffer Golos. Avram is still above being Meshubah to Mitzrayim. The Yitzchak and Yaakov are above being Meshubah to Mitzrayim. To a certain degree, the Shvatim themselves are above being Meshubah to Mitzrayim. And those core beginnings of the Jewish people, they're purer, they're stronger. The Shibud doesn't start with them. It can't start with them. Yes, it's a result of Avram Avinu's sin, but still, Avram Avinu, not possible that he should experience the Golus in the fullest. So therefore, it has to wait, really, to unfold until we're there at the next generation. That's sort of the beginning of it. There's this Mirz Hashem, as the Maharal is going to go to look at what the Gemara itself says about the reasons we find very important, deep, rich things here that we have to develop. But for now, at this point, we're going to stop here with the Maharal's beginning of the exploration of the Gemara. Yes.
The one thing that's unbelievable about that chat is that the Shibud started the instant that there were 70 people, because as soon as they
was born, they were right. Right. Beautiful. Right.
This sounds a bit like what you were saying, the kasha before that, on the third that the final tikkun, that the paying the price and getting the reward and going out with wealth, that that's the Jewish people. So, you know, why would Abraham ask that as an individual before the? It's not a complex way of saying the individual versus the call. You know, once it's 70, they became a call only down there. So, is that what he's saying, really? I mean,
it's not what he says here, those words. But what you're saying is something which the Maharal does say in a different realm. In the Maharal, in the Tiferes Yisrael, when he speaks about why Matan Torah waited, why it didn't happen right away, is because he wanted to wait for Klal Yisrael to be Klal Yisrael. He wanted to wait to be a nation. He wasn't giving it to Yechidim. He wanted to give it to a Klal. But here he's not just, he's saying more. He's saying this specific formulation of the Klal was connected enough to the Umais to be able to be vulnerable to the Umais. Now you're saying a different thing. You're saying it had to be experienced by Klal Yisrael. It couldn't be experienced by individuals. That would be too separate.
Of, you know,
right? So the Maharal does subscribe to that idea in certain things, but that's not what he's saying here.
Did this be addressed in how Yosef could have been Meshubbetz Mitzrayim? Especially because Yosef's almost considered
good question.
To be...
Good question. Thank you.
Like,
good question, according to the Maharal. As he's saying, the Shvatim, we wait till all the Shvatim die to be Meshubbet. But Yosef went through a phase where he was Meshubbet. It's a good question. Huh?
Doesn't the Maharal talk about him being Evan Yisrael?
That would make the question stronger then, because he's almost considered to be like a fourth Av. So he's not only one of the 12, he's almost like a one. He should even be less able to be Meshubbet than any of the other Shvatim.
But he still has the aspect
Yosef Shibbet wasn't like a building block and defining element of the building of Klal Yisrael, was it? I mean, the Klal Yisrael being in the shrine, that was part of building up the nation, and part of Yosef is that Shiva was just a core to.
Well, it was a core, it was a beginning, and he's Avin Ben, but that enhances the question, right? It's not, you know, are you trying to answer the question? Yeah. The emes is that the periods of Yosef's real shibud, where we find, you know, every stage of Yosef, when he sold as an eved to Potiphar, he's hardly an eved. Mm-hmm. Right? When he's in the house of Har, he's hardly an eved. There's a stage where he experiences avdus, and that experience, that stage, Chazal associate with Avraham Avinu with Yosef to some degree. Seceding, separating himself emotionally, picturing himself separate from the brothers, right? He was misalsel b'sar, avicham misabel v'atam misalsel b'sarecha. To the extent that Yosef sees himself separate from the structure of Klal Yisrael, he becomes subject to real shibud. Maybe that's where the answer lies. That's a good question. Okay. Have a good day.
The head of